Catherine?
Okay, thanks. A few things, and I'll try to be brief. I think that Pacifica has to realize the full value of WBAI. And I know everyone talks about, you know, BAI has done this, it's done that. But, you know, there are costs associated with being in the market, in the biggest media market in the world. There's a reason why everyone wants New York. And the costs of being in New York are costs that, for all the prestige that it adds to the network, should also be shared by the network. And I do not mean to say that BAI should not become self-sustaining. What I do mean is that as much as BAI has supported other stations, and with the level of instability that has been introduced into BAI, frankly, by the national office, and I don't necessarily mean this national office as currently staffed, but, you know, we've had as many GMs at BAI as I think we've had EDs in the network. It breeds instability. It breeds a lack of trust. There have been violation of processes that lead to a certain cynicism on the part of staff and listener members. None of those things have been addressed. None of those things will be addressed by an LMA. And, you know, and we can use the euphemism PSOA, but, you know, it's an LMA. We're essentially leasing the station. We're saying that Pacifica cannot hold on to one of its prized properties. And I know everyone thinks their station is the prize, but, you know, let's be real. You know, New York is different.
It is a prize.
So before we consider leasing the station and begging for time, I had specifically asked that we consider retaining the station and leasing some of our time to entities that we could choose. That would certainly help with the cost of operating.
Can I be on the stack again, please, Jen?
Serene, your time is up.
If we go to second round, hold on, Janet. Is there anyone else?
I'm sorry. I was interrupted at least three times by Janet. I would like to finish my statement.
Sorry, Serene. Go ahead and finish, please.
Okay. So I think there are other things to be explored. The drive that just finished, not the one that we're in now, but the drive that just finished, generated enough money to take us through had we not had bills to pay back, you know, debts to pay. And I'm not saying that those debts should disappear. We do need a development director full-time. We've not had anyone in that position. I think we have someone now, but that's a temporary thing that happened maybe a year ago. We've not had a development director for almost 10 years. Our expenses didn't go away because we didn't have someone working on development. You know, so there are a lot of things.
I'm out of chair, please.
There are a lot of
things. Excuse me, I'm the timekeeper.
Well, she's gone way over.
Okay, thank you, folks. Serene, are you concluded?
I'm just about. Ready to stop, yes. So what I want and what our LSB wants is for Pacifica, for the rest of Pacifica, to show the support that we claim, feel, and give BAI an opportunity to work together, all of its board, all of its staff.
Point of order, time, please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who has not yet spoken who would like to? And where are we at on time, Madam Timekeeper?
Let me see. We have until... we have 2 minutes left in this segment.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who has not yet spoken who wishes to speak? Okay. Hearing no one, I had two requests for second rounds. They were Benito and Janet. So out of courtesy, I'm going to let them both go. Please be mindful of the time and keep it brief. Benito, go ahead.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to my original question. And what I had asked is, what is the motivation? And some have said that they want to do their programming. So my question becomes, why would someone want to be able to do their programming on someone else's station when at the end of X number of years, they're going to have to give that stuff up? So they lose whatever audience, I would think, they would lose whatever audience they thought they gained over that 6 or 8 year period. I just still don't get what their motivation, what they stand to win, what they think they stand to win. And I don't consider that cynicism either, but everybody does stuff out of self-interest.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Even those who are revolutionary, whatever y'all think that word means.
Thank you, Benito. Okay, Janet, Carolyn.
Well, I'm not so naive as to not think it is a business proposition from everybody, including us. That's what it is. It's a business proposition.
Right.
How, and so I agree with you there. I don't have problems with all of the nitty-gritty of this discussion. I was very interested in Serene's idea about renting out or leasing out a part of our programming. I think that's illegal. I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can charge people to take over our air. I think that interferes with our license. Whatever this thing is, it's legal, this exchange of frequency. So I just want to say I don't think that's a possibility, while it sounds great. And also, I don't think it's a possibility that the other stations are, frankly, really want to agree to mortgage their property. If everybody, show of hands, yes, we'll mortgage our property to save BAI, I'm in favor of that. That's my favorite choice. But I don't believe that any of you will go for that in the end. Okay. But I'll take a vote on it if you want. Who would agree to license their station's property for BAI survival? Thank you.
Tony's down.
Okay. Summer, this is Margie. I'm the timekeeper. You indicated that you would call on two people, and then we would close this discussion, and I think you need to stick to that. And the two people were Benita and Janet.
Yeah, but we would like some responses.
Well, Carolyn was on the stack, too, I'm afraid.
Carolyn came on after that, but Serene had made a point earlier that my speaking deducted from the time other people had. I don't think we'll be harmed by one final speaker. I haven't heard anyone else say they want to speak. Carolyn, go ahead.
But, Summer, can we get a response?
Well, see, the thing is, Benito, on many levels, you're asking me to speculate on the motivations of other
people. No. I'm asking why would someone... What does the company making the offer? What do they stand to gain? Why would they want
money.
To get
money?
Control of programming and put out their own programming over a 6 or 8 year period of time, when they're going to have to give that up, which means they're going to have to give up that audience at the end of that time period.
Okay, thank you, Benito. I can't speculate as to why different entities might find this to be an advantageous proposition. There are ways for them to make money besides on-air solicitation. I'm fairly clear on what Kriegler said, but I understand other people aren't, so I will ask him for further clarification. There are opportunities for other entities to make money, as well as to air content that they feel is appropriate. And then, of course, I don't think it is beyond the realm of reason that because of our precarious financial situation that some people might hope that indeed we'd make some other decision at the end of a term and either allow them to lease it for another term or some other proposition. But other than what is actually in the offers, I clearly can't speculate on other motivations other than those that are laid out on paper, you know, which have been distributed to the board. Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm partially speaking to answer Benito's question. Years ago, I came across a study, an expose of United Way. Why is it that United Way is called a nonprofit? The reason it's called a nonprofit is that it collects money from people, and it collects a great deal of money from people, and then it hires more people, raises the salaries of their executives, expands their business, buys another building, and so they're called a nonprofit because every time they get some money, they put it back into the company and expand. So salaries go up, people get hired, and that is the profit, and that is the motive. So just because it's called a nonprofit doesn't mean they're not making money. And that is probably what this sort of lease arrangement will do for someone. It'll give a great signal to anybody who's able to use it, which we have not been able to do ourselves. So I'd like to not just ask, but I'd like to suggest there are a couple of buildings that could be leased or mortgaged that would float WBI until we got ourselves sorted out. I'm not ashamed to ask that those buildings be considered for this purpose. And at that point, we have to come up with a business plan that really makes BAI into a viable operation. And the end game is that we have to do enough fundraising between now and the end of any agreement to buy back the building. We cannot let it go because we haven't been able to get that far. So
point of order.
I have a motion.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes, Richard.
We're 10 minutes over this item.
Okay.
We need to move on. I know this. We could talk about this for several days, and I'm sure we will talk about it for months, but not tonight.
Thank you, Richard.
I have a motion, please.
Too late. Too late.
What do you mean, too late?
We all need to be a point of order.
I'm
point of order.
Why are you shouting out?
Okay, folks. Is there a motion to extend time here?
Benito, I move we extend 10 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there an objection?
Yes.
Yeah, I object.
Okay, so let's spend 5 minutes voting on it.
Can we just take a vote on it?
Yes.
We can't just introduce a motion at the tail end. We agreed we were done here. But if it passes, then we can entertain it.
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
Point of order. I'm sorry that if I seem to be yelling, but I have been kind of screaming into the phone for the last half hour trying to find out if anybody heard me. So I got on the call and came back on. But it seems to me we should not ask if somebody wants to extend time after we pass the time by 10 minutes. We should be on the next item on the agenda and should
Thank
not
you.
Be soliciting more time.
Thank you.
Thank you. I solicited more time because a member said she had a motion after time had expired. So
point of order, ma'am. Why would we ask for more time after the time is over? Please, let's go on to the next item.
I mean, she has a motion, Teresa.
Right, but she didn't make the motion when she was on the...
Just saying the words motion doesn't mean you have a motion. You have to be recognized.
We're doing pretty well tonight, okay? It's not one of the worst meetings we've ever had in recent memory, so I'd like to kind of keep it that way and keep moving here.
May I be recognized?
I'm sorry?
I was asking to be recognized. It hasn't happened in the past few minutes, but I think people should ask to be recognized.
Yes, Serene?
Okay. So, I believe there was... you said there were two people to speak in 5 minutes, and we're speaking for 90 seconds. So I'm not quite sure how we're so far over time. But there were people who spoke subsequent to that, and in asking to bring my motion, I was one of those people.
No, you brought it up after I said the last person was something. That didn't happen, Serene.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to argue out tonight. Look, I just want to take a vote on it. I already said I would entertain a motion to extend 10 minutes, which I shouldn't have done under Roberts because time had expired, blah, blah, blah. Let's just take a vote on it. It takes a two-thirds vote. If it doesn't happen, we move on to the next agenda item, okay? So if you support extending 10 minutes on the LMA discussion, then vote yes. If you don't, then vote no. Mr. Secretary, please call the roll. Thank you.
Edward Seeker.
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg.
No.
No. Siegel. Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson.
Yes.
Yes. Diaz.
Yes.
Yes. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Brazon?
Yes.
Yes. Crumshow?
No.
No. Medina?
Yes.
Allen?
No.
No. Polinar? Mitchell? Giselle, no. Burton?
No.
No. Coleman?
No.
No. Roberts?
Yes.
Yes. Sava? Gray?
No.
No. Seven to seven.
Okay, so the motion fails because it has to be by two-thirds. Okay. Next item on the agenda is approve the FY13-14 budgets. Consideration of KPFA, WBAI, WPFW, National Office, Archives, and Consolidated. That would be one, two, three, four, five, six budgets to be considered. We are already midway through December, and our fiscal year started October 1st, so these are approximately 2 months overdue. And I will note that this was cited before by auditors, the inability of this organization to actually pass budgets before their new fiscal year starts. So from an external world perspective, it's important to attend to these matters and actually have approved budgets. So with that being said, each one is currently allocated at 10 minutes each, and I am going to hand the floor to the National Finance Committee Chair Tracy Rosenberg for presentation of each budget. I will go ahead and keep back for Q&A during each budget, but she will do the presentation and answer your questions should you have any relative to each budget. Ms. Rosenberg?
Tony, point of information.
Yes, Tony.
Didn't we approve WPFW budget in Houston?
I was about to say that, Tony.
Oh, did. Thank you, Tony.
That as was soon little... as the report began.
Okay, that was an accident that was still included on the agenda. Thank you, Tony. That was my recollection that we had done that one. Is all the rest of it accurate, Tracy? KPFA, BAI, National Archives Consolidated?
Yes. The good news is it is five budgets out of eight, not six, that we have not approved, although five is still quite a substantial number.
You have the floor. Go ahead, please.
So I shall proceed. Okay, so the question is the order to take these up in.
BAI first.
That was a vote for BAI. I was going to say it seems to me that we're having a BAI theme this afternoon, this evening, so we might as well continue on that theme. So I think that we will do BAI followed by KPFA, and if we can manage it, we will look at National or the Archives. If you'll give me a second, I will get the BAI budget open. All of these files were sent to you after the NFC approved them. They were in hard copy in the board book given out in Houston in November, and they were sent again, I believe, 1 to 2 days ago. So you should all have received them multiple times. So the WBAI 2014 budget was largely developed by the station manager, or the GM. It was approved by the WBAI LSB Finance Committee. My understanding is that it did not formally get approved by the WBAI LSB, which in most cases is the case with the WBAI budget. The budget largely, from a philosophical point of view, started from a position of zero, or a position focusing on revenues going forward and expenses going forward and trying to make those balance out. It was generally acknowledged by all parties, and we talked about this considerably, that there wasn't really a plan or a structure that anyone could think of that would generate enough extra revenue to pay the substantial debts that are piled up. And, of course, we've been seeing that play out this fall. One of the interesting things about doing a budget when you're already mostly through the first quarter of the year is you actually have a pretty good idea of how that budget's playing out, at least for the first 3 months of it. And largely, WBAI's budget has played out largely along the projections in this this document, which is good. In terms of the overall numbers that we are looking at, we are projecting revenue, listener support at $1,566,000. $1,000. It's important to say that WBI pulls out their recurring donations, which a lot of other stations just throw in with their listener support. So there's an additional $156,000 pulled out and placed in account 5599 for their BAI Buddy program. And they are looking at total revenue coming in of $2,405,000. By comparison, that is a substantial reduction from what has been both projected and received in previous years. But everyone is clear on the fact that the large staff reduction is going to have an impact on the ability of the station to generate revenue. We're looking at total expenses of $1,987,000. That includes salaries of $522,000, administrative expenses of $333,000, which are less than half of what they've had to be in previous years. Could someone mute their phone, please? Because we have an enormous rental savings. It is significant. Programming expenses of $818,000, which is the annual tower.
Phones, pound, pound, one. I can't hear Tracy, which means other people are having trouble. Sorry, Tracy. Please start up.
It's okay. Yeah, programming expenses of $818,000, which is largely our very expensive tower, plus the normal programming expenses, and development expenses of $280,000. For a total of $1,987,000. This budget does project the payment of shared services in the amount of $256,000 to the National Office and $39,000 to the Pacific Archives. There was a small payment of central services that was actually made out of their first fund drive, but whether they're going to be able to continue that over the course of the year, we don't know. And then we projected a significant amount of capital expenditures. Whether those capital expenditures will actually be made or not remains to be seen, but basically this budget tried to accommodate the fact that there is no current production studio at 388 Catalanic Avenue, and there will have to be to have a functional station. So we basically felt that if the revenue projections ran to course, that the obvious and first priority, if Pacific is going to continue to operate the station, is to install a functional production studio. So those are the leasehold improvements that you'll see. Is there anything else to say? One of the other items that we struggled with a bit was how much to include in this budget for the rental at City College. And we did make a decision as a precaution to extend that through much of the year, even though our hope and the intent of the budget and the intent of the general manager, again, was to get a studio in place at 388 Catalanic Avenue and to stop paying rent at City College. But we felt that in order to be prudent, that we couldn't assume that the studio would be in place sooner rather than later. So for most of the year, you will see rental for both facilities. And I think that's pretty much it, so I'll take questions.
Benito.
Okay, go ahead,
Benito.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my question actually is not to Tracy, it's to the members of the folks from BAI. I would like to know why the LSB did not approve the budget as proposed by the LSB Finance Committee, from what I understand. And then I have a second question based on that answer.
Okay, I can tell you what was reported at the Finance Committee.
I would like to hear from the BAI folks.
Okay, Carolyn, Janet,
Serene.
Hello?
Or Serene.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, I just want to know from the BAI folks why the LSB did not approve the budget proposed by the LSB Finance Committee.
How can can I explain this? Do you know how long it takes to set an agenda here ordinarily? There is your answer.
Yeah, I'll back up Janet by saying the way that it was explained by the reps on the NFC was basically something along the lines of, we didn't get to it, we were fighting about other things.
I'm sorry, Benito?
Yeah.
Thanks for asking the question. In part, we our July meeting, and 11 people from the local board wrote to the PNB asking that our board officers be directed to have a meeting. They canceled the July meeting. We actually have 20 minutes for agenda setting at our meeting, so that's not what that's about. Our LSB meetings begin with a 20-minute agenda setting period. It is simply a matter, I think, of it being easier to have other people make decisions that are unpopular than confronting it and dealing with it. So we had opportunities to discuss the meetings. I would say that there was a concerted effort by certain members of the board to not get to the budget. It was placed on the agenda, supporting motions, other motions, you know, were placed on the agenda, and it was simply arranged in such a way or maneuvered in such a way that it wasn't dealt with. And AI has not voted on a budget, I think, probably in the past three or four years. The LSB has not voted on our own budget.
Yeah, let me add that the BAI was given the longest extension period of any of the five stations. I believe it was over a month at the request of the LSB treasurer. And I believe that he made an effort to – excuse me, Suri.
Yeah.
And I think he made an effort to – there were at least two – Serene, excuse
me.
Serene is not speaking, Tracy.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you were. Who's speaking in the background? Because it's a little distracting.
You might inquire before you accuse.
I'm sorry, Serene. Anyway, if somebody could mute. They were given the longest extension of all of the five stations, and it encompassed, I believe, at least about a 6 or 7 week period, so there was more than one LSB meeting opportunity. I believe there were problems making quorum, or meetings got canceled, and they were rescheduled, and then there was attempt at a special budget meeting, and that didn't make quorum, and so on.
Carolyn on the stage.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead, Carolyn? I think Summer was going to keep the staff, but
yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Just very briefly. I think the word that everyone is striving for, without casting aspersions on some other people, is dysfunctional. I think that would sum up why the budget was so late at the AI. The board is quite dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. How are you? Who would like to be next on stack? Any questions about the AI's budget for the board treasurer?
Teresa
Brian
here. Can you hear me?
Teresa,
hello?
And then I'm sorry, was that Brian?
Yes, I'll go after Teresa. That's fine.
Thank you. Teresa and then Brian. Go ahead, Teresa.
Teresa's multitasking, so I hope I can collect my thoughts. Tracy said something. I'll have to go after Brian and collect my thoughts. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, Brian, Teresa is.
So, quick question. The BAI budget buddy breakout for the monthly installments, is that line subject to central services the way this budget's structured?
Yes, it is.
It is.
That was my question.
So
that was my question. I'd like you to explain that again, what you meant by that.
Oh, simply that for some reason, and there is, when you take a look at the consolidated budget, you can see as a general thematic scenario that a lot of the stations do individual things with the chart of accounts, so the amounts that they assign to certain account numbers really aren't consistent from station to station. And you'll see that. There will be some stations where certain expenses are way high, and what that means is that they're putting certain things into that category that other stations don't. So what I was pointing out, because I thought it was interesting, was that when we BAI produced their income summary, they pulled out the amount of listener support donations that are on monthly payments. In other words, people who donated $120 and decided to pay it by $10 a month. In other words, people signed up for an ongoing perpetual $10 a month or $20 a month or $15 a month. And they have a program that they call BAI Buddy, and the DM felt that he wanted to break out the amount of their listener support revenue that is in those perpetual recurring donations. I guess because they worked hard on the program and they wanted to sort of demonstrate that. So there's $156,000, and in most other stations would be stuck in account 5,000 for listener support, that in this budget is being placed in account 5599, the other income category. But that is one categories that's sucked up in the shared services.
My question is, they aren't expecting to not pay central services on those funds, are they?
Not to my expectation. That was not discussed, and no.
Okay.
There are only specific income categories that are not subject to shared services. That isn't one of them. It's like we break out corporate match and some other items, but they are swept up.
Thank you. Was Carolyn done? Brian?
What's the monthly amount on the City College rental?
Oh, do I remember that? It's around $5,000 or $6,000.
$4,500 or $5,000, not more than that.
Yeah, I'm thinking $4,500 is right, but it's been so long since we talked about this budget. Let's take a look here. The office rent is $10,200. And we're paying around $5,500 for Catalantic Avenue, so it's the balance. And I think around $4,500 to $5,000 would be correct, probably $4,500.
And how much notice does BAI have to give to leave the City College space?
My understanding is 30 days. Does anyone else have another version of it?
We moved in,
but then it's basically it's a month-to-month agreement.
We moved in with a six-month lease, which has run by now. I don't know whether it's been renewed or whether we are, in fact, month-to-month. But on Atlantic Avenue, our rent is not $10,000. I think that was projected for the time when we were expected to be using both floors, using two floors. And we are, I'm sorry.
No, the $10,000 is Atlantic plus City College.
No, Brian, I thought just said something about Atlantic, and the response was $10,000. Did I mishear you, Brian?
We may have all misheard each other. So total rental expenses are 10 and change, and you're saying City College is about half of that.
Correct.
Okay. And then I guess my question is, since we do have 4 months of the fiscal year out of the way, how are the assumptions in this budget holding up? Is WBAI raising what this budget says it can raise?
Mm-hmm. For the first fund drive, the assumptions pretty much held up except in one area, which is that the cost of premiums were higher than anticipated. We know why that is. It's because of the premiums that were used. The revenue numbers were also higher, so there's a bit of an offset there. But basically, the extra funds that came in were pretty much swallowed up by extra premium costs. So in a way, if you'd hit the target in the budget with the premiums target, you'd be in pretty much the same place as surpassing it with a higher premiums total. And that's essentially what happened.
I'm sorry. Can I give a slightly different response on that?
When I'm done, yes, you can. In terms of the expenses, the set current expenses were not higher than anticipated, but there were requirements from past debts, which involved scooping some funds out. For example, the amount owing to Silverstein Properties.
Those are off-budget expenses.
Yeah. In other words, the debt to Silverstein isn't in this budget, and it was paid. So you're scooping stuff out. Okay.
But what about the $30,000 in community events revenue WBAI was supposed to have by now, or the $18,000 in major donor revenue, or the $5,000 in car donations?
Mm-hmm. My feeling about the community events is that they're pretty much on schedule. They had a big concert with Pete Seeger, and they had a whole bunch of small events, so I believe that money is pretty much manifested. I'm quite sure that the major donations have not. That is not unusual for WBAI. It involves work to solicit those donations, and there's nobody to do it. In terms of car donations, as far as I know, they're on schedule. I haven't received fully detailed financial statements, so I'm going to kind of take the fifth on that. But again, the overage on the fund drive puts them pretty much on the income level where they should be. They're not short on their revenues, but they haven't been able to allocate all of their revenues to their current expenses. Serene, I think you had something you wanted to say.
So, Brian, I think you asked where we were in terms of where we expected to be, and I don't have the numbers on the actual cost of mailing premiums, although there are a bunch of premiums apparently that were rather heavy to mail, which means it's going to cost more. But according to a report I saw from the general manager, we went over our fundraising days in the last drive, I think maybe by about 4 or 5 days, but we also exceeded our goal by about $170,000, which went into paying back, you know, paying debts. But we did make more than he had anticipated we would make, and I don't think all of that was swallowed up by additional premium costs.
Serene repeat the last sentence? I didn't quite know what it meant. About premium costs?
I'm saying that Tracy made reference to the fact that she believes that our premium costs were greater than anticipated in the budget. And I'm saying our income was also greater than expected in the budget. And that not all of that money was swallowed up by additional premium costs.
Is that what Tracy said?
That's sort of what Tracy said. They came in at about $135,000 over the fund drive goal. This was in the September-October fund drive. But if you look at the third-party premium amounts, which is about $11,000, they actually spent about $70,000 on premiums, as we know, because we got a statement from the GM. So a significant chunk of that extra income was offset by increased premium expenses, which means that while you have more cash flow, you don't actually end up with that much more cash in-house. I do believe that some of it, of course, is staying in-house. It isn't $137,000 worth of premiums, but the extra profit margin from the additional revenue isn't quite as large as you would think. It was substantially over goal, and premium costs were substantially over what was anticipated.
And point of information, was that income paid?
Summer, this is Margie.
Pledges paid or
Janet.
Pledged? Yeah,
I'm sorry. I have something to say about the time. We are actually past time on this item because we had 10 minutes, and I'm recovering from a very bad cold, and I lost track of what I was supposed to be doing. So,
thank you, Margie.
Okay. Well, who else is on the staff? Maybe we can finish this up really fast.
Janet.
I heard Janet. Is anybody else?
All right. So why don't we do to vote?
So why don't we do Janet and then close it off?
Thank you,
Janet.
Oh, I just wanted an answer to the question if that money that was overage at WBAI was money pledged or money delivered.
Oh, pledged. I'm not talking about money delivered numbers.
Okay.
Okay, well, at this point, someone needs to make a motion about something.
I move approval of the BAI budget.
I second.
Okay, Summer?
I am here. Is there any objection to approving the BAI budget?
No.
No objection.
A hearing none? I'd like to abstain.
All right, call the roll, Richard, please. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Alan, Teresa Allen.
Says yes.
Yes. Apollinar, Hinchel, Uzel, yes. Burden?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts?
Abstain.
Abstain. Saba?
Oh.
Can't hear you. Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Seekert?
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes. Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
Abstain.
Abstain. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Razan?
Abstain.
Abstain. Crumshow?
Yes.
Yes. Medina?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Okay, good. Well, it's 7:50, so I guess I'll just go on to the next budget.
Just a minute, Tracy.
Yeah.
10-04.
Thank you. Yes, I would suggest continuing with the next budget, and I might even have the temerity to suggest that it would be more advantageous for the organization to finish approving all budgets this evening because of how far past the start of the fiscal year
point
we are.
Point of order?
Yes, Brian.
You could try that.
We're 20 minutes past our scheduled adjournment time, and we have urgent items for our executive session. It requires a two-thirds vote to extend any further.
All right. Is there a motion to extend?
This is Heather. I move to extend.
By how much?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Is there a second?
Sure.
Heather, I second.
Thank you. I imagine there's an objection. Is there?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I have a question.
Yes.
How many more budgets do we have?
1, 2, 3, 4.
I see.
Four, okay. And the fourth one shouldn't take very long. It's essentially three.
Okay.
The consolidated is kind of pro forma once you've passed all the others.
Thank you. All right, so, Mr. Secretary, please call the roll. If you support extending for 20 more minutes on budgets, then vote yes. If you do not, vote no. Thank you.
Okay, Razan. Lydia?
Pass.
Crumshow?
Yes.
Yes. Medina?
No.
No. Allen?
Allen says yes.
Yes. Apollinar, Hinchel, Uzel, yes. Burden?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts?
No.
No. Saba? Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Seekert?
No.
No. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes. Siegel? Wilkinson? Wilkinson?
I'm sorry. I'm my brain is dead. This is a vote to extend discussion. Is that right?
Right.
If I vote yes, I'm voting to extend for 20 minutes. Yes, I vote
right.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Gotcha. Diaz?
No.
No. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Razan? Passed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Nine to four.
941. Okay. It passes.
941, the motion carries. We have another 20 minutes.
Wait a
open
minute,
session.
I thought, point of information.
Yes, Benito?
Is it correct, I think it was Brian or somebody said you had to add two-thirds.
Right, 941.
It's two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
It's two-thirds.
Okay. Math was never my best subject.
Okay, thank you.
I can spell better.
Okay. So go ahead and proceed, Tracy, with the next budget, please. Thank you.
Okay. KPFA's budget. All right. So we are looking at a total revenue of $3,461,000. Listener support at $2.7 million. Which is a substantial increase over the 2013 number of 2.581. What else would I say here? Other than that, the income figures are reasonably pro forma, but we are projecting, as I said, a $123,000 increase. Listener revenue has been slowly trending up, not by quite that much. It has not crossed the 2.6 threshold in many, many, many years, but we are hoping that there will be some gradual increase, and that is the number that people felt comfortable with. We are looking at expenses of $2,929,000 to break that out. That is personnel costs of $1.95 million, which is a $160,000 increase over the projection for 2013. It's worth saying that the 2013 number actually looks to have been a little bit higher than it was projected to be when this budget was discussed, but again, it is still a six-figure increase. We are looking at administrative expenses of $345,000, program expenses $206,000, development expenses at $326, and community event expenses at $78,000. Before everybody screams at that number, it's important to remember that KPFA has a big crafts fair that it runs every year, and approximately $50,000 of those expenses are associated with the crafts fair, and it does bring in somewhere between $120,000 and $140,000 every year in revenue. So we are predicting shared services payments of $532,000, $461,000 to the national office, $67,000 to the archives for a net surplus of $3,861, which is, of course, a small, tight surplus. And there are no capital improvements or capital items anticipated in this budget. There are some things at KPFA, as the GM pointed out, that are going to have to be fixed. But the general concept with those expenses is, A, they are somewhat discretionary. They don't have to be done this year if cash flow doesn't quite live up to it. And KPFA does have a fairly large depreciation allowance, so potentially some of those funds could be accessed if there are emergency repairs or emergency equipment problems. There's some long-term, apparently, mold and moisture work that kind of has to be done. And we looked at whether we could actually budget for it this year, but we didn't seem to have the funds available. So that's how we handled it. I think that's pretty much it. In terms of the trajectory of the budget, there was a budget approved by the local station board. It actually isn't all that different from this budget, but after it was approved by the local station board, it turned out that some of the numbers were off. The fulfillment percentage had not been applied to a significant chunk of the listener support, and the recurring donations had not been included. So once that mistake was found, the budget had to be altered somewhat at the NFA level. By the time things went in and things went out, the budget actually is not all that different. The overall revenue and expense figures pretty much within about $10,000 or $15,000 of what they were. But we did have a little bit of back and forth for a substantial period of time because the draft budget that went through the LSB process had some errors in it. So I'll take questions.
I'm going to point out that we now have 6 minutes left in this discussion time for this budget.
I have a quick question, Teresa.
Okay.
Is there a hiring freeze going on at at KPFA, and how many full-time employees do you have?
There is not a hiring freeze going on, and in fact, this budget includes parts of three different new positions. It includes the addition of a new union board operator, addition of a part-time volunteer and fund drive coordinator, and potentially part of the salary for a program director, which is currently a vacant position at our station. That's why you're looking at $160,000 in additional personnel besides the 9% over 3 years union raise that was agreed to earlier this year. So there is no hiring freeze in effect. In terms of how many FTEs we have, give me a second and I will pull the figure. Full-time employees.
Well, actually, it's full-time equivalent.
Full-time equivalent.
Which means that there are actually many fewer than employees.
Hopefully there's a count on everything. I don't know if I have it handy, but I'll take a look. Okay, so it's here, so I just need to do some quick math, and I will have it for you. Let me give you the totals by category, and then we can see what they add up to. 31.8. It is 32 full-time equivalents, and that is 3.8 equivalents in general and administrative, 17.2 in programming, 5.2 in development, 5.6 in operations, and 0.6 in part-time work study.
Right. And what that means for the – oh, I'm sorry. Margie would like
to – Does that include consultants?
That does not include consultants. The only consultant in this budget is Goalbusters, who have a $40,000 contract with KPFA, which was included in the 2014 budget.
All right. Thank you very much.
Margie.
Benito,
to the
list.
Okay. So I heard Benito and I heard Margie.
I think Margie was first.
Okay.
I just want to point out that almost all the people who work at KPFA work part-time. So those full-time equivalents are made up of a number of people, just so people understand that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that's correct. I think there are 45-plus people on the payroll. So.
Thank you. Benito, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So then based, well, Margie's point makes it more complicated, but then I would ask how many then, how many staff are union and how many staff are management?
I guess I can answer that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I would maybe this is, goes beyond the purview here, but I guess I would ask why most folks are part time, instead of full-time.
That may be a harder question, but I can definitely answer the first question, and I'll take a gander at the second. Okay, so how many management staff are there? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe there are 5 that are non-union of the approximately, I think it's about 46 or 47.
Human beings.
People.
5 human beings.
Yes.
Yeah, 5 human beings. It's primarily the positions that are constrained from participating in the union contract. That includes the general manager, a business manager, a bookkeeping assistant, the chief engineer, is there anybody else? I believe the volunteer coordinator is also a non-union position, the new one.
That's not true.
Benito,
it's three management
positions. I think it is. I was told that by Richard Perotsky.
Well, I would like to hear from Brian.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's what the GM said. He said it was
actually not up
position.
To management who's in the bargaining unit. We have 3 management positions. If we hire a program director or a development director, we'll have a 4th. There's a 5th position. It's a very super part-time bookkeeping assistant who the contract designates as a confidential employee, meaning she's not in the union,
yeah.
but her wages are the same and her terms of employment are the same as a union member.
Okay. And in answer to your second question, Benito, why so many people are...
So how many unions?
Part-time. There's approximately, of the FTEs of 32, it would be about 28 or so.
So 28 unions.
And in terms... No, and in terms of human beings, we have about 46, 47 human beings, and 42 or 43 of them are in the union.
Okay.
In terms of why so many people are part-time, during the times when KPFA was having budgetary deficits, one of the remediation measures that was taken was to ask a number of people if they would voluntarily reduce their hours somewhat. So a number of individuals that were working a certain number of hours started working less hours. So that's one reason. And the second reason is that we've hired a lot of people part-time for 20 or 25 hours a week.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question.
Do those part-time people get health benefits?
Yes, we provide full dependent coverage for anyone who works 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we have several situations where we have full dependent coverage for 20-hour-a-week employees.
It's 17 and a half now under the new contract.
Okay.
Just to clarify,
so the answer is
contract didn't change that it's 17 and a half or 20. It's that lunch breaks are included. So either way, it's the same.
But so it's a 20-hour-a-week job.
20-hour work week with a half-hour lunch break each day, yeah.
But the
okay,
answer...
that's a 20-hour-a-week job.
Madam Chair?
For point of clarification,
Teresa Allen, Madam Chair.
I need to point out that we've reached the time limit on this budget.
Madam Chair?
Well, let's see what Teresa's point of order is, and then we'll let Benito finish.
Not a point of order. I just moved that we approve the budget.
Oh, okay. Benito, were you finished?
Well, no, I'm trying to understand. If I understood what you said, Tracy, basically the reason for so many part-time folks is due to past financial problems and management decisions to hire people part-time.
I think that's true, yes.
And why would they want to do that instead of full-time folks?
Of money.
Point of order.
I'm not sure why they want to do that, and I can't speculate, and I'm not going to.
Okay. Point of order.
We have absolutely reached the end of time for this budget.
Okay, let's see what Teresa's point of order is.
Can we vote?
Oh, well, is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack?
Brian.
Too late.
Okay, so why don't we take Brian's comment or question and then vote so we don't have to fight about it.
I just want to raise an issue that I raised in email many weeks ago. It is bizarre to me that the station is made to budget for depreciation, which is not an expense. We never cut a check for depreciation. And it makes it impossible for us to budget for real capital expenditures, because then we would be budgeting for the same thing twice. And in KPFA's case, because we own our building, because we own the building that Pacific is housed in, and because we own our transmitter site, and because we own our tower, and because we own a substantial amount of equipment, we face far more theoretical depreciation expense than anyone else. Even though the fact that we own all those properties means we're much more financially stable. In this budget, that has the effect of adding over $100,000 in expenses that we'll never spend. And I thought would be much better allocated to real capital needs or taken off the time we spend in fund draw. And it is bizarre to me that this is budgeted the way it is and out of keeping with common nonprofit budgeting practices. At a minimum, if it's going to be in the budget, it should be zeroed out in the cap and cash and capital section, so that real capital expenses can be budgeted.
Just to be clear, if we had actually listed capital expenses, at least according to the general manager, there would be quite a bit in there. So essentially, it does zero out.
Point of information.
Tracy, could you ask
information?
I'm done talking before you start talking, please.
I thought you were.
You just interrupted him. You just started talking.
Oh, I thought he was done.
Well, ask him.
Are you done, Brian?
Point of information at some point.
Sounds like he is.
Close enough to done.
Okay. Well, let me just finish with the question. This board has already approved four other divisional budgets with depreciation allowances. And one thing that we have to understand is that we have to do this consistently for every station. We cannot have a situation where some stations budget for it and some stations don't, because then you have a consolidated budget that's a mess. In terms of policy, in reality, had we allocated for the capital expenses that the general manager anticipated, which were substantial, and in fact funds were spent last year on security and various other items that were also largely unbudgeted, then much of the depreciation allowance would have been allocated for the flood and mold work that is likely, if cash flow allows, will go forward this year. The reason a depreciation allowance is larger when you have more equipment, more land, and more buildings is that you have more expenses sooner or later associated with the upkeep and the maintenance and the repair of all that land, equipment, and buildings. So it is proportional. I think that's about all that I'm going to say on that.
Madam Chair, at this point we are 6 minutes past time for closing this discussion.
Point of information.
Okay, let's do a point of information, and then I guess we can go to a vote. What's the point of information?
When Brian mentioned that KPFA owned X, Y, and Z properties, isn't it true that that is Pacifica that owns that property and not KPFA?
I believe that is technically the case, yes.
Thank you.
But the depreciation is in our budget.
Can we vote?
Well, I think this is significant. I mean, if something... I'm out of order. Benito, to
yeah, yeah. I think you actually are, and we are out of time. So it sounds to me like there's a motion on the floor to approve the budget.
Sounds to me like some people got some continuing questions.
Well, then I think procedurally there needs to be a motion to extend. So, Summer,
Benito,
I will let you handle the vote and the motion to extend.
Okay, Benito, I make a motion. 5 minutes.
Point of order.
Teresa.
Madam Chair, we agreed to a certain amount of time. I think that at this point, you know, asking for an extension of 5 minutes when it takes 5 minutes to vote on it is actually obstructive. And I find this person out of order. It's time to vote. And I called for a vote about 7 minutes ago.
Okay.
I have a substitute of 15 minutes in order to get through all the budgets.
We have allotted 20 minutes, and each budget was
And we're at the end
10,
of that time.
So no matter what, we're at the end of some rope of time here.
We're at the end of the 10 minutes.
Thank you, Margie.
You're welcome.
Technically, motions to extend time should be made before the time expires, because when it expires, then you have to go to a vote. I think I said that I had acted in error earlier when I asked if someone wished to make a motion to extend time because the time had already expired. So I don't wish to proceed in error if not necessary. So I'm going to rule that time has expired. And in future, please attempt to be recognized to extend time if you see that it is expiring, or move for more time at the beginning of agenda approval if you think the time allotted to a particular item is insufficient for its discussion. So I'm going to rule that time has expired and that we go to a vote.
Perhaps there are no objections.
There is.
Okay. So there's an objection to this budget. Mr. Secretary, can you please call the roll if you... wish to approve this budget, then vote yes. If you do not, then vote no. Thank you. Mr. Secretary, go ahead, please.
Edward Seegert. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
No.
No. Rosenberg.
Yes.
Yes. Siegel. Wilkinson.
No.
No. Diaz.
No.
No. King. Norman.
Yes.
Yes. Brazone.
No.
No. Crumshaw.
Yes.
Yes. Medina.
I vote no.
Can I? No. Okay. Allen?
Allen says yes.
Yes. Polinar, Hinchel, Uzel says yes. Burton?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman? Can't hear you, Janet.
Sorry, yes.
Yes. Roberts?
No.
No. Saba? Gray?
Yes.
Yes.
The motion carries. The budget's approved. Thank you.
Madam Chair, our time has run out for the meeting.
Thank
with
you.
With a 20-minute extension.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay, two more to go.
Shall we adjourn to closed session for 14 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
Might be extended.
Indeed. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.